This is NHL Radio.
Time now for NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Home Ice.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the NHL Hour. This is Gary Bettman along with Bill Clement, and we're coming to you live from Montreal, the site of the 2009 NHL All-Star Weekend. As in every other week when we do the show, feel free to call in. The toll-free number is 1-877-645-6696. That's 1-877-NHL on XM. We'll get to your calls in a little while, and we'll also be joined by some of our young stars. Drew Doughty of the LA Kings, Luke Shen of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and Blake Wheeler of the Boston Bruins are all out and about with us here at NHL Live at the All-Star Game. The media is meeting in the background, so there's a little bit of background noise. I'm not used to this.
I like that.
You know, I'm not used to this, Bill. We do it typically in a very quiet studio without all this hubbub around us, but it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fantastic. I already had a chance to check out the Jamboree earlier. I can't tell you how much I love the jerseys. They look fantastic. There's so many. There were 12 little rinks in one of the Jamboree tents where a couple of them had the setup that the skills competition have with the targets in the corners of the net. There's so many different things that young hockey players and hockey fans can get involved with. I just can't wait till the hordes of people get here. The one thing that I love most about All-Star Weekend is seeing jerseys from every NHL city. And they will be here.
Yes, they will. And this is a great city. Do you have many fond memories of playing here?
Absolutely.
Or were they horrific memories?
Well, there were some pretty good teams we had to contend with. But I grew up 90 miles from here. So my thrill was always that my mom and dad and some family members were always able to come to the game. I was able to get them tickets. So it was special when any Canadian kid came to Montreal or Toronto for that matter. But, yeah, it was special for me because I grew up in the province.
Were you a Canadiens fan?
I liked the color blue, so I was a Toronto fan. My brother liked the color red when I was like 8 and he was 4.
Did you get beaten up a lot?
No, I was 3.5 years older. If he stepped out of line, he had a problem.
Oh, but, you know, talking about Montreal, you know the league was actually born a block and a half away from here at the Windsor Hotel in 1917.
Was it?
Yes, and actually to commemorate that historic moment, Saturday's Board of Governors meeting is going to be held in the same building. A little bit of irony. Actually, you know.
What is that now? What is
it's not a hotel. It's an office building conference center.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Absolutely, it is. It's also kind of fun for me because the first All-Star game I was commissioner for was here 16 years ago.
93.
And in addition to the fact that this is where the league was founded, we're also celebrating the centennial of the Montreal Canadiens. 100 years for a franchise. Obviously, if you do the math, they predate the founding of the league in 1917. And this is actually not the first. It's the 12th time the All-Star Game has been played here.
I had no idea. 12th time.
12 times. And, you know, there have been different formats. For a while, the Stanley Cup champion would play a team of All-Stars.
Right. And they cheated and won 24 of those.
They didn't cheat.
Okay.
That would be terrible if you were saying. But what's also interesting is the All-Star game wasn't always played in the middle of the season. A number of years going way back, it was played before the season started. Also, to commemorate the centennial, we're going to have the entry draft here in June. So I don't know if you're still fluent in French, but you, I hope, have been brushing up.
I'm ready. Put me in. I can be ready. No, I'm not ready. I can be ready by then.
Do you have any All-Star memories as a player?
Well, my first All-Star game was in 1976, and it was back in Philadelphia where I had played and just won two Stanley Cups the years before, so that was very fond. I remember being introduced to between two other players. One of them was Dan Maloney. I forget who the other one was, but they were fighters, and they were public enemies number one in Philadelphia. There was such an unbelievable chorus of boos when one was announced. Then they introduced me, and they gave me a standing ovation because I was one of the cup guys that had been cut out of the pack and left. And then right after me, the next guy that was introduced was booed. So it was a stark contrast in my acceptance in that All-Star game than everybody else's.
You know, it's only rare that I ever get standing ovations, so I know how you must have felt.
It's only because I was part of the team. Yeah,
exactly. As I indicated before, the noise you hear in the background for our listeners is the Young Stars media availability. There are tons of events in conjunction with All-Star Weekend so that people who don't have tickets can at least at some point, if they're going to be in the area, have contact with the All-Star activities. We've built, as you mentioned, the Lay's All-Star Jamboree, which is outside the Bell Center. The trophies are there in addition to the rinks and the interactive games and a merchandise boutique, because I never do without the shameless plugs.
Still your show.
Well, listen. and we have the Honda Super Skills competition on Saturday night, which includes the Young Stars game, which is presented by Upper Deck, the Bridgestone NHL Fastest Skater, the Scotiabank NHL Fan Fave Breakaway Challenge, Ovechkin's the defending champ, the McDonald's NHL Accuracy Shooting, Thomas Cabrillet defends, the Cisco NHL Hardest Shot, Zdeno Chara has won it the last 2 years, and we finish up with the Gatorade NHL Elimination Shootout, and I go through that for two reasons, to give everybody a sense of what to expect Saturday night on the CBC and on Versus.
RDS.
RDS
NHL
as well.
Radio.
Yes,
yep.
And you can also get some programming surrounding the events, lots of live programming, original programming on NHL.com and the NHL Network. But all of these events have been sponsors. The level of sponsor activation, I think, is 50% higher than it was last year.
Really?
And as everybody talks about the fact that the economy is having issues, which it is, obviously, the fact is our sponsors covet our fans, and they're really activating against all of the exciting properties that we have here this weekend. Obviously, the game is on Sunday, again, on all the outlets
at
you
six.
Named at 6 uh-huh. Eastern Time on Versus, on CBC, on RDS. We're going to have an opportunity to honor some of the Canadiens' legends, including Jean Beliveau, Guy Lafleur, Henri Richard, Yvonne Cornoyer, Bob Gainey, Serge Savard, and Dickie Moore. So lots of fun, lots of excitement. And we're looking forward to a terrific weekend. It's good to have you here. I understand you're going back and forth because you have a motivational speech to get back in Philadelphia.
Yes, sir. I have a commitment Saturday morning, and then I'll be back on a quick flight up for the skills competition and the game that we're calling on NHL Radio on Sunday. Listen, I know there are a lot of people that are catching the show today that have questions about the All-Star Game. Some had suggestions, and some were very interesting in the Noon to 2 show on NHL Live. I'd love to hear from, and I know that Commissioner Betwin would as well, hear from some of you, because there was a couple of people qualified the ideas by saying, this is really off the wall, and I thought, nothing's that off the wall. They were off the wall, but they made some sense. Here's the phone number, 877-645-6696, 877-645-6696. Line up, and we'll get to your calls as soon as we can.
One piece of news.
Oh, yeah, right.
Sidney Crosby will not be able to play due to injury this weekend, and he has been replaced by Marty St. Louis of the Tampa Bay Lightning. We wish Sidney a speedy recovery, and I know everybody will miss seeing him on the ice, but as we all know, this is a physical game.
Without a doubt. Door closes and one opens for Marty St. Louis. And there are a number of, four starting Montreal Canadiens that were voted. There are other players that were born and raised in Quebec that are francophones, coming back from J.S. Giguère to Roberto Luongo. Stéphane Robida of the Dallas Stars is coming in place of Nick Lidstrom of the Detroit Red Wings, who can't come due to injury. So it's going to be a great celebration for French Canadians as well as hockey fans everywhere. It's and one of the suggestions, Gary, that came in was about the skills competition. And I know that it used to be like this, but perhaps you could explain why it's simply the players that are involved in the All-Star game now, and we don't have skills playdowns on a franchise-by-franchise basis.
As a matter of fan interest, the ability to execute the event, I thought you were going to ask me, why did we change the format this year, which is going to be more individuals as opposed to East versus West, which nobody could follow to begin with. I think people are going to like the revamped skills, and at some point we may bring it back at the franchise-by-franchise level, but our teams are traveling so much, our players are kept so busy. We're not sure that we can make it work in an effective way across all 30 franchises, get it scheduled and get it done the right way. And frankly, we don't want to do an event that we don't think we can execute.
It's logistically cumbersome is the best way. Is that partly accurate?
It is extremely difficult, and we have a lot of other events going on, not
sure.
The least of which is the Winter Classic, you know, which happened, you know, 3 weeks ago.
Right.
So in terms of the ability of our events department to do the things that are necessary, there's only so much we can do, but it's something we do keep in mind. Shall we start talking to our listeners?
Let's do that.
Well, why don't we start with Bill in Tallahassee? Bill, you're on XM 204, Sirius 208 with Bill and Gary.
Good afternoon, Commissioner. How are you doing today, sir?
We're doing good. How about you?
Well, trying to stay warm down here, but other than that, doing okay.
If you're in Florida and complaining about staying warm, how do you think those of us up north feel?
Good point. But for my question, last year I attended the NHL All-Star Game in Atlanta, and it was a great spectacle, to say the least. And one thing that, it was mainly during the Breakaways Challenge, and I saw this on the NHL.com website. I want to ask you about it, especially to you, Bill Clement. Last year when we were up in the stands, we were pretty much confused about how the players were supposed to do, what all the players were supposed to do as far as scoring or ability or whatever. And I noticed that on the NHL.com website, it was going to be the fans will be able to vote the best one this time. So I'm wondering, what exactly will we be looking for?
Everybody, I think, was a little confused last year. And
I was one of the judges, and I was confused.
You see, that was part of the problem. But that's why we gave it to the fans.
Good idea.
Seriously, I think everybody thought that you had a score to have an impressive score. And the fact of the matter is the difficulty, the artistry,
sure.
What you were attempting to do was as important as whether or not you could finish.
I knew that.
Really? You didn't vote like that last year, but that's okay. But seriously, this year, the players have had more time to think about it, which I think will make a difference. And whenever you try something new the first year,
you've
got to get the bugs out of it.
Oh.
And I think we should see even more entertaining and exciting event this year. And we're thrilled about having fan impact and input as well in terms of the result.
I was on the ice the first year the skills competition took place. The All-Star Game was in Pittsburgh, and I was supposed to be doing interviews for Sports Channel America at the time. You want to talk about pulling teeth with a lot of the players that didn't want to be there? And that you're so right there. There's a familiarity. The players have to sort of warm up to the idea, and I'm sure it'll be different this year. And it got different the year after that year in Pittsburgh. But that was one of the toughest nights I've had in the television industry.
Well, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I think we were the first league to do a skills competition in conjunction with the All-Star Game. The ones that you now see, the one that the NBA or baseball have, came after ours because everybody saw how much fun not just the players ultimately had once they got used to it and they knew what was expected, but
yeah.
The fans enjoy it as well.
They must have been watching the second year.
That must have been it. Let's go to Jim in Maryland. You're on with Bill and Gary. This is XM 204, Sirius 208.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great.
Yes,
how
sir.
Are you?
Fantastic. Let me preface my question by saying that I'm a longtime Caps fan and a real Caps homer. But
I know it's coming.
Go ahead. Two parts, really. One, do you anticipate changing the format or expanding the rosters at all so that you don't wind up with another guy like a Mike Green who's had an extraordinary first half, even measured against the games that he's missed? Where it's hard for those of us in the capital area to figure out how he's not up in Montreal. And the second part is, do you plan on changing at all the manner in which the starting lineup is picked so that a guy like Ovechkin, who is, you know, certainly one of the three best players in the league, we would argue the best, is also not sitting when the starters go out?
You know, your points are both extremely well taken, and I know it's been the subject of conversation not only among fans over the last few weeks, but we've been discussing it internally and with the clubs. Let me take the second part first. The notion of fan balloting is something that I'm a big proponent of, because I like fans being able to have their say and show their passion by voting. I think the internet age and the ability of computers to light it up has caused us to rethink how we manage it and how easy it is to vote multiple times. My guess is we will always keep some element of fan voting, but I think we may need some more input either from the media or the general managers or the hockey operations department to make sure that we're getting a truly representative set of starters. With respect to players deserving to be here who aren't, boy, there are two issues. Coley Campbell has been a big proponent of what we've done and what I'm about to describe. A couple of years back, we actually inflated the rosters. The benches get too small, and there's no regular rhythm. You don't get regular line changes. You wind up having five and six sets of lines up front, and guys aren't getting into the game. And I think Coley felt that the game suffered if we went with a number of skaters more than we typically do in a game. But if you look around the league, there are certainly many, many players who deserve to be here but can't because there are just so many. What we try to do is make sure that every club has at least one representative. We want the fans of every team to have a chance to focus on the players that they root for.
And that's what gets in the way of one team having five or six.
Absolutely.
It has to.
And it also means it doesn't pay to have 25 or 26 skaters,
right,
because the game itself suffers from it. But both issues that you raised are ones that we talk about on a regular basis. I think we're going to have to do some fine-tuning next year, particularly as to internet voting, because some people are very clever, and I don't say that negatively, about programming their computers mm-hmm. to vote repeatedly.
And if the fans were allowed to vote everybody onto the All-Star team with no input from the NHL, then we could have the same situation, only in reverse, with players that deserve to be playing in the All-Star game perhaps left out. So there's got to be a happy medium formula. But just to let the last caller know, there are other fans in other cities that feel the same way about their guys not being here.
Absolutely.
As they do. Everybody wants to see their guys here.
There's no question about it. And I think people have to also recognize that this is a fun event. It's an opportunity for the NHL family and all of our fans to celebrate our game, and there isn't an exact science to it. So go with the flow, enjoy the events of the weekend, and while we view it as an important event, we can't take it too seriously.
Hear, hear.
Let's take another call. Gordon Shelburne, you're on with Bill and Gary. This is XM 204 and Sirius 208.
Hi, guys. I'm on my way to Montreal, so I'll hopefully be there for the All-Star game on the weekend. I'm a truck driver, so I have to deliver my load, and then I'm going to take the weekend off. So I'm thrilled to be coming to Montreal.
But well, I have luck for you.
I'm hoping to meet you guys in the Jamboree. Will that be possible, Gary?
Well, I'll be floating around. I mean, I have a number of responsibilities in the course of the weekend, but I will spend some time at the Jamboree. But
cool.
Obviously, I'll be at the game as well. But give me a wave, and if you get close enough, say hello, please.
Cool. Well, a couple of things I was thinking of. There was an emailer. I was on hold between 12 and noon. You guys just couldn't get to me. I was thinking, like, of the alumni. I'm one of those middle-aged men where I'm still think I'm a young man, but kind of getting into my 40s. But I'd like to see, like, Wayne Gretzky and some of the older guys, the alumni guys, but also I'm thrilled to see some of the young guys. And there was an email earlier this afternoon. It was the same thing I was calling in for. What would you think about having, like, instead of the youngsters, play against some of the alumni, like Gretzky and Messier and Coffey and Bork and Cam Healy, against some of the young guys like Taze and, you know, Mason Raymond, some of these younger guys on the Saturday night on a 3-on-3 before the skills competition? And then, two, I was also thinking with the goaltenders in the – I forget what you guys call it, what you're calling it, but, like, with the Ovechkin, shootout type thing, maybe you could have some of the older goalies like Kirk McLean and John Garrett and, Mike Richter, some of the older goalies, like, like that instead of some of the regular goalies, and, you know, that way you don't risk injury. Because I know they try all the different tricks, and I'm thrilled. I think that's great, Gary. When you guys did that last year, I was thrilled to see Ovechkin flip the puck up in the air and turn around and try to hit it. I thought that was fabulous.
That's what it's all about. Actually, the only thing you said that bothered me is if you're in your early 40s and you're middle age, you just made Bill and me feel ancient. And that's a good segue. We used to have a Legends or Old-Timers game.
Yeah.
And in terms of the quality of the play and the entertainment value, we thought it was time to do something a little different, and that's why we have the Young Stars. I think if you have a mixed game between the Young Stars and the Legends would be trying too hard and probably risking hurting themselves, and the Young Stars would be laying off the gas a little bit. And I think part of the fun of the Young Stars game is for everybody to see how really fast and talented they are. With respect to the goaltenders, I'm sure the goalies hate this weekend.
What about the idea, though, of throwing the old goalies to the injury to the IR?
Actually, Don Cherry sent me a note this week suggesting we put Darren Pang in goal and let everybody go at it against him. And I can't tell if he was trying to be funny or he had an axe to grind.
Panger's one of the only guys that would go along with that. You know that because he's such a good sport. We're going to step out in the NHL Hour and take a little break here. When we come back, Drew Doughty of the LA Kings and Luke Shen of the Toronto Maple Leafs will join us.
Hi, this is Jonathan Toews with the Chicago Blackhawks, and you're listening to the NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Radio. Now, back to Commissioner Bettman.
Thank you. Welcome back, everyone. We are at NHL Live. Bill Clement with me. We're at the media availability for the Young Stars, and we are quite fortunate to have two of our great Young Stars joining us, Drew Doughty and Luke Shen. Welcome, guys. How's it going for you, and how does it feel to be at All-Star Weekend? Actually, Luke, why don't you go first so people can recognize your voice, and then we can have Drew.
Well, it's very exciting for us to be down here, obviously, to get the chance to come down here and for us to meet some of the All-Stars. And for me personally, guys who I grew up watching on TV, even a couple years ago, and obviously watching grow up, and just to get the chance to come down here and, you know, just see how guys like that and All-Stars in the league, how they carry themselves and how they approach the game. This is kind of things that I'll be picking up on and learning, and it's just very exciting.
Yeah, you know, same sort of thing. It's just really exciting to come out here and not only be with the Young Stars, but just to meet some of the older guys and just kind of see their things on things and hang out with them. I think it's going to be a great, fun weekend.
Now, and I'm not going to say this to embarrass you guys, but I understand you're very close friends. And that, you know, you both were drafted about three spots apart. You were teammates in the World Juniors in a variety of other competitions, and you're both playing in big market clubs, and we'll talk about that in a second. But you also asked to room with each other when you're both entitled to your own room at All-Star Weekend. Do you really enjoy each other's company that much?
You know, I think it was kind of more Schenner. I know Schenner likes
it. No, hey, buddy, you agree, do it.
I think Schenner likes his share of pillow talk at night and likes to kind of get his little thoughts on things there, so he enjoys that.
Well, you just need somebody to listen to him, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what, though? I have – actually, all three of my kids are older than you, but I kind of get the fact that when you're 19 years old and here you are playing in the best hockey league in the world, it's probably – still at the point in your life where you really want to share these experiences with somebody. So I kind of get it, and I think it's a lot of fun.
Well, so, I was going to say, well, our thinking was going in, because you can bring someone down here. You know, obviously, lots of guys are bringing their families down, but we're still young guys, so we just thought we'd hang out with each other instead. You know, we got no families to bring down, so I was like, hey, Dots, let's room together.
That makes a lot of sense. Both of you describe what your path was to the NHL. I think our listeners would like to know how you developed as hockey players. Was it always your dream to play in the NHL? One of you comes from London, Ontario. The other one from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Were your paths the same? Were your dreams the same? Let our listeners hear about it.
Well, for me, yeah, there's nothing else I've ever wanted to do besides make the NHL, and I've always played hockey since, you know, I can remember. And always, you know, felt I worked hard to get here, and it's always been a dream of mine to make it one day. But to think it would happen, you know, at the age of 19, you know, I don't know how much I thought that'd be realistic, you know, even a few years back or a couple years ago if you would ask me. But no, it's always been a dream of mine to play in the NHL, and you know, I just feel very lucky to get the chance, and you know, especially for the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, I'm just very lucky and very fortunate.
Drew?
Yeah, you know, same sort of thing. We kind of both taken the same path. You know, we both went into junior, moved away from home around 15 years old, and yeah, it's surprising that we were both in the league at 19 years old and doing such a big part as we are in the team. You know, it's been great so far, and we're having so much, and it's just our dream come true.
Drew, what's it like playing in Los Angeles?
It's awesome. You know, I actually growing up, Los Angeles is my favorite hockey team, so that was actually a really cool moment for me as well. And but it's awesome, you know, that we have great fan support there. We have a great group of guys. We're a young group, and so we have a lot of fun on and off the ice, and I think that's really important.
Luke, the intensity of fan interest in Toronto, there's no market, I think, anywhere in the world that has more intense fans and a greater rivalry, with the possible exception of Montreal, but we'll talk about that later. How does it feel to you? Is there a lot of pressure playing in that market?
Well, yeah, there's definitely a lot of pressure. Like you said, it's probably the biggest hockey market in the world. So
next to Montreal, since we're here.
But yeah. We'll
stay out of trouble.
Yeah. But no, coming into training camp, just when I first kind of walked in and see all the media, just after, you know, a little practice in training camp, or you know, the first exhibition game, just how much media surrounds our dressing room every day, you know, day in, day out. Just you know, there's so much going on that you know, it's hard to keep up with all the media, and you know, you try not to worry about that too much, just worry about the hockey side of things. But even, you know, you go out in the street and get recognized by fans, and you know, I don't know if you could say that happened too many other places, unless you are, you know, one of the top guys in the league. But just we can go out and, you know, lots of guys will kind of take notice, and fans. So it's pretty cool to be experiencing that.
Do you feel like a celebrity?
No, not like a celebrity. I still feel the same way, but it is, sometimes you do have to kind of, you know, look back and smile and just be like, did that actually happen? I just walked into the restaurant and they just asked me how my game went last night. So that's kind of a cool thing about it.
Or sometimes they tell you how your game went last
night. Yeah, that's more actually how it goes.
Drew, what's it like with being around all the Hollywood stars?
You know, it's pretty cool, especially we actually have a lot of stars come to our games, and that's pretty cool. You know, after the game, we get to meet them a lot of the time and stuff like that. So it's pretty awesome. You know, it's kind of, in a way, it's a lot different than Toronto, just because we aren't the stars there. You know, you have the Lakers, who are the biggest sports stars there, and then you have all the Hollywood stars. So it's kind of a good thing in a way, just because we can walk around and not get noticed and kind of do our own thing.
What was the biggest change for you guys in making the transition from the juniors to the NHL, and was there anything in particular that surprised you? Luke?
Well, for me, the biggest transition, obviously, junior, you're playing against guys who are, you know, 16, 17-year-old kids and haven't developed and, you know, into their bodies, and here you come and you're playing against full-grown men, and like I said, kind of at the start, guys are going home to their own families, and guys on our team got kids that I'm closer to their age to than I am to them, so that's kind of a different thing, just being around, you know, an older group of guys. But as far as the game goes, biggest thing I notice is obviously, like everyone says, is the speed and the strength of everyone. But one big thing is the puck movement, just how quick things move out there. And you always got to be thinking. And sometimes you don't have too much time, but or even you'll try to close in on a check and the guy will move the puck really quick. So you just kind of always got to be on your toes and thinking a lot quicker.
Drew?
I think one of the biggest changes for me and was just having to kind of live on your own, you know. Coming in, I always had a billet family with me back in Guelph when I was playing in the OHL, and they were doing my laundry, cooking my food and stuff like that, and now I kind of got to do all that on my own, and it kind of sucks in a way, but
some of the teams find billet families for their young players. That didn't happen in your case.
That was an option, but I decided to move in with one of the older defensemen, Matt Green, who's been a great help for me. You know, he's an awesome guy and helps me a lot on and off the ice. And so,
North Dakota guy.
But you live with Matt Green at home, but you have a different roommate on the road.
Yeah, I live with our captain, Dustin Brown. I think Dean kind of just wanted me to kind of have an older guy that could kind of show me the ropes, you know. I don't
keep
know
you out of trouble.
I guess that, and I think I don't know if they trust me that I'd wake up in time to the alarm clock, so I got those guys around for me too.
What's it been like for you guys to play against each other?
Actually, yeah, we went down to LA, when is it, November, I think. Yeah. And we went down there the day before, actually, and I was aware that we were coming the day before, so I called Drew and I said we should get together, and he said, actually, there's a Laker game going on. So we went and sat courtside at the Laker games. He hooked us up with some tickets, and that was pretty cool. And then we played against each other the next night, and we had a lot of fun going on there. So, we both feel very lucky that we're playing as much as we are and given the opportunity, so it's pretty exciting.
Drew, what was it like for you?
It was a lot of fun. You know, we were kind of, every time we passed each other, you know, on the ice, we were making signs or chirping each other in
big
some kind of way.
For each other.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's a lot of fun just because we kind of have a history. We played in like four or five tournaments together with Team Canada, and just be in the draft together and both making the NHL at the same time and then seeing each other on the ice together, it was definitely a pretty cool moment.
Do you guys, Drew, talk to each other about the differences between playing in the West and the East?
I don't know if we talk about that too much. We definitely talk about how it's so much different playing in Toronto than it is from L.A. due to pretty much everything, just like the fan base they have there. And it's freezing cold there, and I'm still wearing shorts and T-shirt to the rink. So, you
tough.
Know,
tough break.
It is tough. it does suck. I remember always saying to myself, I don't know how people can be wearing, like, winter clothes and like LA and stuff like that when it's still pretty warm out there, and I'm already changed into that climate.
You're soft.
I'm freezing. Yeah, I'm pretty much came soft.
Exactly. they say it thins your blood. Hey, how did you get named after Drew Pearson, the football player?
My mom was a Dallas Cowboys fan, and for some reason, don't know what it was, but he was her favorite player, and that's just kind of how it came. I think she kind of liked the name, and from then on, that's how it happened.
Awesome. Great for you guys to join us. I hope you have a blast this weekend. It should be a whole bunch of fun.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Thank
you.
Hopefully this is the beginning of many, many All-Star weekends for both of you. And maybe 15 years from now, we'll be having this conversation. And you won't be rooming together. You'll have your own families.
That's a little far ahead of us. Yeah. Let's not think about
years.
That.
let's start with the immediate urgency. Luke, don't keep him up at night, okay? Chatting his ear off. Let him get some sleep, okay?
All right.
You guys
thanks
are
a
great.
Lot,
guys. All right,
thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Drew Doughty of the LA Kings and Luke Shen of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We're getting ready to answer your questions. Commissioner Gary Bettman alongside. We're here at the All-Star Festivities in Montreal. The phone number is 877-645-6696, 877-645-6696. Back to take your calls right after this.
Hi, this is Dion Phaneuf of the Calgary Flames, and you're listening to the NHL Hour with Commissioner Gary Bettman on NHL Radio. Now back to Commissioner Bettman.
Welcome back, everyone. We're going to take some calls, and then we're going to be joined by another young star, Blake Wheeler of the Boston Bruins. Mr. Clint, anything you want to add before we go to the calls?
Let's fire away. I know we got a lot of anxious callers that want to chat. I've been here already for a couple of hours today. You haven't.
You're warmed
up. Let them
up.
Get to you.
Okay. John, Wellsboro, Pennsylvania. You're on with Bill and Gary. This is XM 204, Sirius 208.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for taking my call. My comment has to do with the way we award points in the NHL for regulation wins versus OT and shootout. My team plays tonight, wins in regulation, gets 2 points. Two teams in my division play the following night. They play to a tie in regulation and get to split 3 points. And the other thing that annoys me is I think it affects the play in the last couple of minutes of the game. If you're down to the last 2 minutes, you might as well play more defensively because you're going to go into OT. You still can get 2 points, and you certainly guaranteed one. And I know this rule was originally instituted when there was large salary disparities in the NHL. Rangers had $88 million salary. Panthers had $30 million salary. If they tied in regulation, you wanted them to get a point, and I could understand it. But those days are over, and the way these points are awarded, I think, is crazy. So I'd like to hear what you gentlemen have to say.
It's a fair point, and it's one that we've discussed many, many times over the years. And it goes more to the way the game is played, because when we have the discussion, there's a concern that if a team's up by a goal going into the third period, they are going to clamp down and sit on it for dear life, that one point, that one goal lead, in an attempt to pick up the 3 points. We felt that by awarding the points the way we do, it encourages teams to go for it and be more wide open, particularly in overtime, because if they're not successful in winning, at least if they give up a goal by trying to be more offensive, at least they'll get a point for their effort. There's no exact right science or answer on this, but it's a discussion we keep having. And so far, I think on balance, we've been pretty comfortable with the way we've been doing it.
You know my feeling.
Your feeling's like the callers.
Well,
no. Win a take all on everything.
Yeah, two points for a win in regulation or in overtime. 1 point for a win in a shootout. No points if you lose.
But that has the same dynamic going into the third period. We've had lots and lots of games where there's been, I think, somewhere over 50 where there have been lead changes towards the end of the game. And that's something that we're trying to encourage. We want the games to be as unpredictable as long as possible. Actually, Chris Letang from Pittsburgh just joined us. What's your view of 3 points versus 2 points, if you have one? And welcome to Montreal.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the stats and stuff, but I think it could be maybe more interesting at the end of the season to see the standing with more points and maybe tougher to get in the playoff.
How are things going for you? When did you get into town?
I got after Carolina's game. I flew in at 6 in the morning to get my family because I'm born here in Montreal.
Well, welcome home.
Thank you.
Were you a Canadiens fan?
Actually, I was.
Was?
I was when I was younger. And when I started growing up, I was a Pittsburgh fan. My idol was Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr, so...
Well, isn't that convenient?
Yeah, and the first time I met the Penguins before I get drafted, it's a funny thing. My phone ring. My mom was calling at the same time, and a few months after I was getting drafted in Pittsburgh, so I think I belong there. I'm not sure, but I think I belong there.
It's funny how things work out. How are things for the team that almost won the Stanley Cup?
I think right now it's tough for us. We got a lot of injuries. We lost some players, but we had a great start at the beginning of the season, and we're going some slump right now. But I think with all the talent we have, we're gonna get back in the playoff spot and gonna battle again.
Chris, tell our listeners what your path was to the NHL, and when did it first dawn on you that you might actually be good enough to make it to the NHL?
I always been like a forward first. I was a forward, and I start like playing, and a lot of people were saying I was too small to play in the NHL. You know, when we had all of these...
Well, we changed the rules to make sure you could make it.
Yeah, so I make it. And no, obviously, I was thinking about it all my life. That's the only thing. Like, every time people were asking me what I want to do in life, I was saying I want to be a hockey player and I want to play in the NHL for a long time. And when I start junior, I just play 1 year before I get drafted. So I gave everything that year. I was like, I look at all the player. I look at all the game every night. I just want to play hockey all my life. There's nothing else I want to do. And I worked every summer. I was serious every summer to get to my goal, and I will be until I get the best player I can be.
How old were you when you switched from forward to D?
I was 12 years old. I was.
If they said you were too small at forward, why did you switch to D?
Because I don't know. I loved it.
He could skate backwards better than anybody.
I was skating backwards better, actually. I don't know. You can see the ice more and better.
Got great vision, so
yeah, that's something I like. You backing up, you see everything, you can make great plays, you can join the offense. It's not because you're a defenseman, you just have to play defense, and that's something I like. I don't know, that defense, I don't know, you can hit hard and get hit, actually,
yeah,
a lot of times when they dump the puck on your side. But it's I love that position. I don't know why. I try forward this year. I play one game forward. We had a lot of injuries, and I had to play a few shift forwards, and I didn't like it, so I went back for on the D. So.
Who on your team are you closest to? What other players?
I would say Fleury, Boucher. I think we have a close team. I'm roommate on the road with Philippe Dupuis. We've been close together too. Sidney is a good friend of mine too.
It's a young team.
Yeah, it's a young team, and I try to stick with all the young guys. We have like I said, we have a great chemistry on the road. We always go out for dinner all together, and I've been around a lot with Philippe Boucher too.
Sure. How's Sidney's French holding up? Does he ever speak it? Because I know he did some.
He was good in French, but I always speak English to him because it's better for me to try to learn and get better every day in English and have a perfect English like Mario Lemieux.
Your English is terrific. How long have you been speaking English?
Actually, everyone is beaking me, teasing me about that.
Are they?
Really?
Yeah. Why?
I don't know. Because I do some mistakes sometimes. And
so do I, and it's the only language I speak.
You know what, though? You have the courage and the commitment to go ahead and do it with a smile on your face, so
you
are to be commended, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. We got to go to a break. Have a great weekend. Have a great rest of the season, and we'll look forward to having you back in future All-Star weekends.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, don't be afraid to join the rush. You're going to get your opportunities. Chris Letang of the Pittsburgh Penguins, our guest here, will step out. Yep, we'll step out and get back to the calls right after this.
You know the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through.
All right, the NHL Hour is back, 877-645-6696, and let's rush to the callers.
Let's go to Mark in Toronto. You're on with Bill and Gary, XM 204, Sirius 208. You there, Mark?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great, thank you. It's an honor to speak to you both. Listen, gentlemen, I've written a couple articles online regarding the hockey and fighting in the Don Anderson issue, etc. One thing that's not being talked about on any of the major networks, nor really on the internet, is what are the legal ramifications that the NHL may or may not face if a player like Jerome McGinley gets involved in a fight and suffers similar injuries as to, or loses his life as a result of that altercation. I guess the real question is, how vulnerable is the NHL to a lawsuit that may come from a multimillionaire who can hire a high-powered lawyer?
Well, first of all, we can't say enough about what a terrible tragedy the Don Sanderson death was. And again, we send our condolences out to his family. The fact of the matter is that our players, when they partake in the game, consent to what happens on the ice when they're involved with each other. The legal implications tend to come up when something out of the ordinary happens in a game and a prosecutor in a jurisdiction decides to press charges for criminal assault. That's only happened less than a handful of times, and it's something that we don't think is necessary or appropriate, and we and the players involved have always dealt with it. As it relates to the players between each other, unless there's something out of the normal realm, I don't see why there's any legal issues, although obviously, we'll see what happens in the Moore suit, Steve Moore suit, pending against Todd Bertuzzi.
Yeah, and there'll be talk this weekend about helmets and other. It's obviously the Don Sanderson tragedy has sparked a whole bunch of debate and discussion on a lot of levels.
And we talked about this last week, and it's something that we'll talk about with the general managers as we reevaluate and self-evaluate, which we do across the board with all rules. I, like you, Bill, don't foresee a time when there won't be, quote, fighting close quote, in the game, but it may be now that fighters are bigger than they've ever been that we have to look at the rules of engagement, how a fight takes place and what happens as players engage.
Yeah, to make sure that there is protection afforded them even though they're dropping the gloves and getting into it.
And with apologies to the callers, we're fortunate to have another one of our great young stars join us here at the media availability for the young stars. Blake Wheeler of the Boston Bruins is here with us. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're second in the league in plus minus. How is that possible?
Well, I think if you look at the plus minus, we have quite a few guys up there. And I think that's a testament to Coach Julian's system. He's done a great job of kind of implementing a defensive first philosophy that, you know, translates into an offensive game. You turn a lot of pucks over and find yourself getting some pretty favorable scoring chances.
You were raised in Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
What was your path to the NHL? What was your dream? When did you think this could all be a reality?
Well, my path was probably a little uncharacteristic. I played high school hockey for a couple of years. Went to the USHL my senior year.
Green Bay,
yep, after being drafted by Phoenix, and then played 3 years of college. So for most guys, it's getting drafted, maybe play a year of juniors. But for me, it was draft and then 4 more years of seasoning.
What's your view of the college game? How does it compare? Because you had a decision to make at the time. Why college versus major juniors, and how do you compare the college game to the NHL game?
Well, for each player, you know, there's a different path that's appropriate. And for guys that maybe need to develop physically more than anything, I think college is a great approach because you're spending a lot of time in the weight room. You get a lot of intimate time with the strength coaches, and you get to build a little bit more physique than maybe you would if you're playing, 60, 70 games a year. So I think the college game has really, stepped up quite a bit. You see a lot of great players coming out of the college game. A lot of stars in the game now are coming from college, and I think it's a great thing for universities to have, some guys have success at the next level.
What was the hardest part of the transition from the college game to the pro game?
Because you made it look kind of easy.
That's my point.
No, I think I'll probably just throw the cliche answer, maybe the size and speed of all the players. That's obviously the first thing that comes to mind. But at the same time, I think just how organized everyone is on the ice. In the college game, maybe you don't really know exactly where all your teammates are. But here, just based on the systems that you play, you can look up and know exactly where all the other four guys are, and it makes the game a lot easier.
You were drafted by Phoenix. You wound up in Boston, one of the original six, a great sports town. How do you like Boston? And was it what you imagined?
Oh, it's been everything plus more. You hear all about Boston being such a great sports city with the Red Sox, the Celtics, the Bruins, you name it. And to be there and to have especially a winning team there has been just, surreal. The fans just really embrace the team, all the players, and I guess I have a different perspective. I've been there 1 year and we've had a pretty good year, so they definitely have been very supportive of us, and it's been great to see the fans come out in numbers for us.
How would you describe your game, your style of play?
Well, I think for me, I try to play a great two-way game. I think, especially with Coach Julian's system, that's demanded of each player, and you have to be responsible at your own end of the ice. And when you get into the offensive zone, it's all about, creating below the net, protecting the puck in the offensive zone, cycling, getting in front of the net, and, just finding a way to score goals, however that is.
Is there any player that you try to emulate that was your idol growing up?
I've had that answer thrown at me a couple times, and I've had a tough time really providing a good answer. I guess for me, I haven't really looked at. I've obviously idolized a lot of players, but for me, I haven't really emulated anyone's game particularly to a point where I could give a good answer.
So one of the things I've been asking all of the young stars: what are your living arrangements? Do you have a roommate? Are you on your own? What's it like for you being in Boston at your age?
Well, I live by myself. A lot of the guys live in the north end of Boston, so it's a pretty nice, small little area where a lot of the guys live. And I think college definitely did a great job for me. I can kind of take care of myself a little bit. I know how to cook a little bit more than just macaroni and cheese and frozen pizza. So it definitely helped me in that area. So it's been a great transition. And Boston is a great city to live in. There's a lot to do, a lot to go out and see, and it's been a phenomenal place for me to live.
When did you get into town?
Montreal.
Yeah.
Just about a few hours ago, about around noon.
So you haven't had a chance to really take it all in. What are you looking forward to this weekend?
Well, I think being around the rink and seeing, you know, just how the fans are going to come out and just, you know, I've played here in a couple of different environments. You know, you're pretty much hated being the Boston Bruins here. So to see it maybe in a little different light and see how supportive the fans are here. And it's an unbelievable hockey city. So I'm really excited to see everyone at the rink.
Got to ask you, do you like the shootouts? Because Coach Julian has confidence in you. You take part in the shootouts. And how long have you had that dynamite forehand move?
Well, it wasn't so dynamite the other day against St. Louis. I threw one off the post, but
You made it, just slipped off your stick. It looked like you had him, didn't you? You had him.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was. But it didn't go in. So
that was, by the way, that was quite a game the last 6 minutes or so.
Yeah, that was quite the game.
But did you score on that same move last night?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's
all's forgotten.
All's forgotten. There you go. I going into it, I knew it would be a long weekend had I missed. But it's great to have the confidence of your coach and to be thrown out there in the shootouts, which are, you know, very important to the part of the game today. Is you know, great feeling to have your confidence in your coach. And I guess we work on it quite a bit in practice, so you can kind of gain a little bit more confidence when you're out there against your own goalies, because Timmy and Manny are pretty good at the shootouts. So, you know, they do a great job of, you know, schooling us and showing us maybe some of the better moves to pull off. And I guess that one's been pretty comfortable for me.
Well, they're signaling us that I got to let you go. Enjoy the weekend, and I'm sure this will be the first of many All-Star weekends for you. Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. I appreciate having me.
Yeah, thanks. Don't wear your Bruins jersey on the street, okay?
I kept at home.
Okay, that's Blake Wheeler, the Boston Bruins. And I think do we have time for another call? Yeah, we sure do.
Well, in that case, why don't we go to Frank in Connecticut? You're on XM 204, Sirius 208 with Bill and Gary.
Hi, Bill and Gary. It's great to talk to you guys. I want to compliment you on the interviews today. I thought the Drew Doughty interview with Jonathan Toews also was fantastic. It's great to hear the young players talk about how it's a pain in the neck to do their laundry and whatnot. But anyway, I know you're short on time, and I just have a comment regarding the draft order, just something I've always, you know, thought about over the past couple of years. I think it's kind of unfair in a way that a team can win the Stanley Cup 4 years ago and then this year come and have first overall pick in the draft. And my suggestion and my thoughts were, I wish there was a certain formula that the league would take into account the success of the teams over maybe the past 5 years, so that, say, a team that has consecutively missed the playoffs for, you know, 5 years running and has been, you know, not all the way down at the bottom, okay, you know, maybe somewhere just missing the playoffs for 5 years straight. I think something like that should be factored into the equation. You know, I understand the lottery, and I think that's a great aspect to have, you know, so you don't have a team tank the end of the season deliberately. But I really feel that, you know, this would be more beneficial in giving every team a chance to win the Stanley Cup over the long haul. If you look at the teams that have won cups over, you know, the last 10 years, they're always teams that have had, you know, a stud that's been picked in, you know, the first five picks in the draft. And, you know, I really think that's important, that every team should have a shot at getting those high-end picks, even if they're just finishing just out of the playoffs every year. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
You make an interesting point. I think the general managers and we at the league tend to view it more year to year is the best way to evaluate what team is the most needy. And I understand that there are sometimes anomalies because the team had a lot of injuries and then everybody gets healthy. But particularly with the system we have in place and free agency, teams can turn it around pretty quickly. And I'm not so sure you could devise a fair system that would account for a multi-year performance.
I feel strongly both ways. Plus, I wasn't paying attention after about 3 seconds of that question. So
that's
anyway,
not nice.
I know,
you're not supposed to do that.
But it's
to our
honest,
callers.
Though. That's it for the NHL Hour. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. It's going to be a blast.
For more podcasts, check out NHL.com. This is NHL Radio.